Welcome. You are listening to Central Synagogue's podcast, featuring sermons, lectures, and conversations from Manhattan's historic Central Synagogue. I'm Rabbi Angela Buchdahl. Each week, we invite you to listen to messages of strength and hope given by our clergy on Shabbat or Jewish holidays. You can also listen to audio recordings of other programs and lectures given at Central by subscribing to this podcast on the platform of your choice. If you'd like to watch our live stream services or learn more about our congregation, I invite you to visit us at centralsynagogue.org. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon. And raise me up to a world of living,
safe from the storm. Sefer Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers, is one of the most carefully constructed books of the Torah. It's hard at work constructing our communal memory. Scholarly consensus is that this experience in the wilderness was compiled to help each generation make sense of the moment that they were in, warn us of pitfalls in communal life, and guide us towards the right path for our future. It's a big part of our Jewish collective memory, this wilderness journey in Sefer Bamidbar. And tonight, I want us to ask a very strange question. I want us to ask, what isn't the Torah telling us? Which I admit sounds like the beginning of a bit of a conspiracy, but this is an important question for us to ask about our text this week, especially for this text, Parshat Chukat. And yet, it's not the question we tend to ask about Parshat Chukat, because why look for what is absent when there is so much present? This week's Parsha details the mitzvot about the red heifer, that crimson cow whose ashes cleanse the Israelites of impurity from corpses. We learn of the death of Miriam. We learn about Moses' sin that leads to the punishment from God, that he is going to die outside of the promised land. And then we also read about the events of Aaron's death as well. So it seems strange to look for what's absent when there's so much here. But as you can already sense, Parshat Chukat focuses on death in an unusually concentrated way. Miriam, Moses, Aaron, the red cow who purifies us from contact with the dead. And so I apologize if this is not the most lighthearted drash I've ever given. We work with the material we get. I didn't write it. Now, I am also sparing us from the Haftarah, and if you really want to go down a rabbit hole, you're welcome to read it tomorrow or today if the sermon does not captivate you. It's Jephthah's Daughter, and it's a doozy. But here we are with a packed parsha in Parshat Chukat, and so why ask ourselves what's missing? Because that really is the question when we pay close attention to the text. We'll choose to notice tonight what's absent because this absence stood out to our ancestors as chilling. And perhaps the crux of the most important lesson in this entire book of Torah. So what isn't the Torah telling us? Between the end of last week's Parsha and the beginning of this Parsha, 38 years have passed. That's a lot of our story to skip. A majority of our people's wandering through the wilderness goes unreported by Torah. What happens in those 38 years? In that silence, almost an entire generation of Israelites die. The slave generation who disobeyed God and listened to the wicked scouts, they slowly die off in the wilderness throughout those 38 years, and Torah is mute. Yes, there are a few exceptions. We know that Korach's band is swallowed up by the earth. We know that a plague will kill all of those who engage in Midianite idolatry. We get the stories when they're attached to unusually sinful behavior. But most of this generation dies without a drop of ink spilled about it. God edits out their names, the places they died, the tears spilled on the sand by their loved ones. And we have to remember, not a household in Israel was spared from this. But we hear none of it. So when we realize this, when we pay attention to this, we can't help but ask, why? Why does Torah glide over these 38 years and all of these untold deaths? In choosing to not tell these stories, Torah is asking us to do two things all at once. The tradition wants us to remember and to forget. Remember that a generation died, remember why they died, but forget them. Forget who they are. And this act of forgetting is all the more distressing after the way that the book of Numbers started so carefully with a census, counting them. Professor Adrienne Levine notes this when she teaches, these souls were so meticulously accounted for at the outset and are now left with their deaths unmarked, perhaps unburied, somewhere in the wilderness. What became of them? In not telling their stories, Torah ensures that their teaching is lost. From this generation, we receive no lessons, no wisdom. They stand in stark contrast to Aaron and Miriam's death in this week's Parsha. Both of them are remembered for the good and the bad that they did. And we continue to enrich our lives by learning the lessons that we can glean from their doings. Their memory, as Torah constructs it, continues to bless us and humanity, but not this generation who's lost in a void, who slipped into the sand and the space between two verses. And so what's the point of it? The answer to that, I think, lies in the mystery of the red heifer, that red cow. The purpose of this red cow, as we said, was to wash away the impurities created by contact with corpses. So many of our commentators tie its conclusion here because of the notable deaths of Miriam and Aaron. But I think it makes more sense for its inclusion in this moment to be related to the fact that we've just glossed over these tens of thousands of deaths. Every member of the community came into contact with the dead. It makes more sense to me that it is for them that this ritual becomes necessary and needed in this moment. And I think this is strengthened by the fact that there is an important link between this red cow and the dead of the wilderness. One of the first laws we get for the red cow is that it must never have been bound to a plow for field work. It's never been in service to anything. This red cow enjoys the kind of freedom of which Judaism is quite suspicious. Unbound freedom. Freedom to do whatever one wishes, not what one ought to do. This is, in a sense, the very same sin of the slave generation. They wanted personal comfort over communal service. They wanted freedom without responsibility. They wanted to serve their own ends rather than to serve God and future generations. Like the red heifer, they would not be bound to anything, and yet, as we know, Jewish living is all about binding ourselves to community, to one another, to service, to God. We go free from Egypt so that we may serve and fulfill the mission of Israel. This is the lesson that Torah wishes to teach. It asks, what leads to an entire generation lying in obscurity? What causes a generation to disappear without leaving a trace? Well, in living only for themselves, this generation denied themselves a heritage. And in choosing to say that they were ends in and of themselves, Their memory endures no longer than themselves. This generation wrote themselves out of our people's story. And we who live today, remember that should we want a legacy, we choose and must choose to bind ourselves to some task and mission larger than us. Our deeds do not need to be perfect. Aaron and Miriam were anything but that. But they lived lives of service, not of their own whims and wishes. Each generation and each of us has the same choice. Through sacrifice and through commitment, through joy and jubilation, through struggle, we can write ourselves into the story of our people or decide to live unbound and feckless, faded to the space between two verses. And I'd always praise
your name. Thank you for listening to this edition of Central Synagogue's podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you're in the loop on future episodes. And please follow us on social media or watch our live stream at centralsynagogue.org, our Facebook page, or on national cable at the Jewish Broadcasting Service. Thanks again for joining us.